The Board of Public Works for August 1st, 2012. It's already August. How many of you are saying, "Boy, we're into July and June go"? I am. So we have the reason we're in this setting is because we have a bond sale today. Madam Treasurer, you want to tell us what we're doing?
Yeah. At about 10:25, we are going to initiate the sale. Amber T, who is not here yet, will walk us through it. Amber is the new manager of state debt, as many of you know. And we look forward to a very successful sale. In total, almost $735 million, but it's divided into parts, the largest part being the one we are going to do at 10:30, which is the competitive sale of tax-exempt bonds totaling $478,660,000. We have a large number of firms that have signed up to compete for that money. There also are a couple of other parts that will be conducted in the back rooms, a taxable bond deal for which at least 14 firms have signed up. So Maryland bonds are apparently very desirable in the market, and because of that, I think we're going to get quite a good low interest rate, which will save the taxpayers significant sums. For the record, we did talk to the rating agencies on the 10th of July, and they went through all of our books and everything and came up with a AAA rating for the state, AAA stable for Standard & Poor's and Fitch. AAA negative outlook continues for Maryland and Virginia with Moody's because of the linkages with the federal government, although I think that they are a little less automatic than they were a year ago in how they're looking at that. To remind you that the sales today finance only capital projects in Maryland. Some states borrow money simply to meet payroll. We don't do that, one of the major reasons for being AAA rated. We did sell $26,340,000 on last Friday and Monday in the retail aspect of this sale. That was less than we had anticipated, and the funds that were not sold at retail are rolled into institutional. I think the individual citizens of the state of Maryland, even though they have great faith and know that it's conservative and very safe, were not really happy with 0.36% return on their funds, for which one can hardly blame them, but that's what the market dictated. We also are going to be doing a refunding sale of about $191 million, refunding because we now can get a combination of a lower interest to pay and because this is the time to sell them. We have two indices that we look at when deciding whether to sell, whether you'll make at least 3% on the money, and also whether there's at least a 70% chance that this will be the best time in the remaining life of the bonds outstanding to reap this sort of benefit. So using those criteria, out of all the money we have outstanding, we found almost $192 million to refund, and we are projecting a total savings, net savings, of at least $10 million. We'll see when the numbers come in. But that will be true savings to the people. I assume there will also be some premium involved in the sales. Really don't know what that will be. So we'll see what happens. And that's why we're here, Governor.
Okay. We're here to see what happens. Mr. Comptroller?
Thank you, Governor. I just wanted to welcome my son, Nick Francho. He's in the back. He's standing under the clock. He's a handsome guy under the clock. He's looking more and more like his mother every day. But I'm very proud of Nick. He went to Yale and then was several years in the private sector and then worked for the Comptroller of the Currency, Comptroller number one, as we call him. and then for the last 2 years has worked for Treasury Secretary Geithner, directly for Mary Miller, who's a great Marylander who may be the next secretary herself down the road. But Nick is headed next month to Stanford Business School, and he's got some time to spend with me, and I'm delighted he's here. Governor, I'd like to focus my other remarks this morning on the fact that, as all of you know, far too many Marylanders are unemployed, underemployed, struggling just to keep a roof over their heads in this tough economy. The fact that far too many small Maryland-based employers are just trying to keep the lights on at a time when consumers aren't spending and the costs of doing business are going up. We all know the stats. I'm not going to bore you with those. Instead, I'd like to focus just for a moment on the 400 men and women out in Hagerstown who last week were working, and the next day at the Good Humor plant, which was shut down, they had pink slips. And for those of you that know Hagerstown, you can imagine how devastating it is to lose 400 good-paying jobs in that area. It has such a strong manufacturing tradition. It's a town, frankly, that helped build the country. And it's devastating to those families whose lives are going to be turned upside down by all of this. Those are folks who are not going to be able to afford decent back-to-school clothes for their kids, folks that aren't going to be able to find another job in time to give their kids a decent Christmas. And as much as we dread thinking about it, some of these folks may actually end up losing their homes and have no place to go. These are just a few of the folks around the state that are hurting right now. On the flip side, there are businesses that are succeeding in the face of adversity, entrepreneurs that are investing capital and making money in our state, people that are finding work and getting back on the right professional track. It's going to be my goal over the next few months to reach out to a broad cross-section of Marylanders to get an honest, nonpartisan assessment of what's really happening in the economy. And I'm happy to announce today that I plan to visit each county in Maryland this fall on an economic listening tour. Beginning in September, I'll be meeting with a diverse collection of Marylanders to see how our tough economy is affecting them and hear what we can do as a state to give them a better chance to succeed over the long haul. I'll be talking to factory workers and small business owners, tech professionals, coal miners, and farmers, nonprofits that provide mental health services to those who are ill, and those who offer job training, food, and shelter for those who have lost everything. No bells and whistles, just sitting down with folks and hearing what they have to say, unfiltered, from the front lines. We're obviously in a political season, and let's be honest, we're not going to get a lot of candor from either side during the campaign. There will be Democrats who will try to tell us that things are better than they really are, for obvious reasons. And there are those Republicans who will try to tell us the sky is falling and that it's all the president's fault. We all know that the truth is more complicated than that. I think we all have a limited appetite for the Washington insiders who talk about these issues in the abstract, distort the data like high school debate champs. I think Marylanders deserve better. I don't believe that we can sit down and have a sensible conversation about how to move forward until we're being honest about the economic problems facing us. I want to concentrate our energies on working people who need us to listen and take appropriate action. So I'm very much looking forward to visiting these groups across the state and reporting back to Maryland on what I hear. And Governor, it's good to be back. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Controller. I see your people are here.
You know, perfect timing. Thank you. Amber Keith is going to walk us through. Kenya Johnson Malcolm is not a newcomer. Who is in charge of our lease programs. She and Amber are going to be working this screen for this session. Amber, I sort of outlined what we were going through, except you would take charge.
Thank you, Trevor. Governor Controller, we are preparing to receive bids on the first series A tax-exempt sale, which will total $478,660,000. And those bids will begin to come in at, we'll be due at 10:30, so we'll probably a minute or so before that the bids will be come in. Treasurer?
While we're waiting?
Yes.
There are a couple of parts of the resolution that have to be adopted before, and I would do that. I would move that the board adopt the resolutions before us. This is item 15 in the Secretary's agenda. Adopt the resolutions before us today concerning the state and local facilities loan of 2012, second series in particular. Move that the board ratify and approve the preliminary official statement dated July 19, 2012, which is on the Treasurer's website. The revised date and publication of the summary notice of sale for the 2012 second series C, B, C, D, and E bonds, published on July 19, 2012 in the Bond Buyer, and the resolutions the board adopted on June 20, 2012 concerning the bond sale. And I would ask for a second to vote on that motion.
So the seconds. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it.
And regarding the second series A bonds, which are the ones that Amber mentioned coming up now, I move that those are the ones that were the retail sales Friday and Monday. I move that the Syndicate of Underwriters represented by Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated be awarded the second series A tax-exempt bonds in the aggregate principal amount of $26,340,000 with a net premium of $3,826,553.87 and a net true interest cost of 2.5170%. I further move that the bond purchase agreement for such bonds be accepted and approved and that the second series A bonds be issued in the amounts and maturities and at the interest rate and prices set forth in the bond purchase agreement. And would ask for a second and vote on that motion.
Second. Controller, second. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it.
Secretary's noticing 3.8 starts with.
Okay, so we have just over a minute left. We're waiting on the bids for the second series B bond. The municipal bond market has been, is one bid, at historic lows this month, and we're sort of excited, anticipating a great interest rate on these bonds. We had seven bidders registered, so we're anticipating that there'll be approximately seven bids. So as we receive the bid, we will, once we conclude, we will go back and we'll work with our financial advisor and verify all these, and we'll come back for board approval later, along with the other bids on the other series.
Okay, so do you want to go into the agenda, or do you should
follow through? We'll get it
either.
Or
this is part is over.
No poetry?
And you wonder what would happen if the fingers slipped.
And so you can see unverified. It looks like the potential winner might be Bank of America Merrill Lynch with a true interest cost of 2.169819, which is very low. So we will go back and verify this, and then we will be back later.
I mean, it's great for the taxpayers. We can build those schools and hospitals and jails at a lower cost. Therefore, build more schools. What it says about our economy.
It's a great interest rate.
Very good. Okay, so now we're going to go back and compute all these things and do the rest of the sale, and then Amber and Tina will be back at 11:30, 11:20. Thank you, ladies.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, Secretary's agenda.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. We have 16 items on the agenda this morning. We are considering item 15. We also have two reports that I want you to discuss.
Any questions? Secretary's agenda. Controller moves approval. Seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. We move on now to the DNR real property agenda items.
Good morning,
Governor. Good morning. Mr.
Comptroller, we have 12 items on our agenda today for your approval.
Mr. Comptroller,
I note on one of the items, we've talked to the agency about this, we're being asked to approve a $320,000 investment in program open space money for three recreation projects in Caroline County. A playground in Greensboro, basketball court in Denton, new playground equipment. Obviously, I don't have a problem with that. It's terrific. But I wanted to just bring to the attention of the agency and perhaps other people in the state that are paying attention to Caroline County what's not on the list, and that is a long overdue community swimming pool in Caroline County. This jurisdiction, for those of you that are not familiar with it, is the probably only jurisdiction in Maryland that does not have a community swimming pool where kids and families can go on a hot summer day. And recently there have been two tragic incidents over there. In June, a 22-year-old woman drowned in a creek just outside Preston while trying to save a child who was in trouble. And just last month, three little boys aged 12, 11, and 6 drowned while playing in Marshy Hope Creek, just outside of Fredericksburg. These were four kids that were just getting started, obviously. Three little boys that died. I'll let you imagine what Marshy Hope Creek looks like in this kind of hot, steaming weather. And they'd still be with us, frankly, if they had a better place to swim on a hot summer day than a muddy, dirty creek. Frankly, in 2012, I think we ought to be able to identify the resources to find to get a community swim pool. It may be something where we partner with philanthropy in the private sector. Or it may just be looking at existing resources. I understand the YMCA of Chesapeake hosted a wonderful event at the Caroline Country Club pool where they offered free swimming and water lessons to more than 150 Caroline County kids. So more than 150 kids came out at the end of July to learn how to swim. The need is so glaring and painfully obvious that although I want to salute everyone who made that event successful, it's by no means a substitute for a permanent public swimming pool that would literally save lives in the future. And I hope the next time that Caroline County is back before us, the program open space, whether your agency could try to work with them to identify some kind of construct that would allow, obviously these are expensive items, but would allow the community swimming pool to be constructed. It's not inexpensive, as I mentioned, but if we can all pull together, particularly the business community and community philanthropists, including the Y from the Midshore, to raise private sector money and supplement whatever private investment we have. And if you could help us develop a game plan, Madam Secretary, for operating the pool once it's up and running, whether it's through the Department of Parks and Recreation or through an agreement with the Y, which already has an active presence in Denton. Bottom line is that I would strongly urge Caroline County to focus its time and energy on getting these kids a permanent public swimming pool, and any assistance they can get from your tremendous agency, I would be grateful for.
Thank you for your questions and your concerns.
Surely a swimming pool could be funded, the development of a swimming pool could be funded.
Is it county of Rush?
Well, not formally.
No.
It's eligible for the local side program, open space program. However, as you know, it's a big project, upwards towards $5 million, $6 million for an outdoor pool and $15 million for an indoor pool. So a project like this takes years, I think, to accomplish, and due to our current funding levels, it's a project that requires saving on part of the county. Currently, half of Caroline's monies are required to be used for acquisition projects. So if you look at the averages over the past 10 years, they have maybe $100,000 per year that they could dedicate towards the development of a pool. So when you consider the way that the local side is funded is through bonds. So they have 7 years to keep that money and save it. I would agree that DNR can help. We have an expertise in the area of cultivating private and public partnerships.
Terrific. If you could sit down, I'm sure you'd sit down with them right away, but if you could sit down with them on this specific thing and see whether we can come up with a some kind of creative constructive partnership, because obviously the county is poor related to other counties, and they're not going to have the resources on their own. Obviously these things are not cheap, but if it was easy, I wouldn't have to bring it up. This is a tough one, and I appreciate any kind of attention you pay to it.
Sure, our state side monies that we can contribute are limited to acquisitions. I think DNR could sit down with the county and see if that's a possibility, or perhaps work with them on joint partnerships.
Great, I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the controller moves approval, seconded by the treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. We move on now to the Department of Budget Management agenda.
Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, good morning. There are 9 items on the Department of Budget Management's agenda for the day. I'd like to withdraw item 7, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Treasurer moves approval, seconded by the Comptroller.
Can I just get your perspective on item 6, Madam Secretary, please.
Okay. Item 6 is a request by the Department of Transportation to add grant monies to an existing contract. The contract is one that provides and educates the public about how they can go about assisting in preventing terrorist attacks. It's my understanding that basically they have received federal grant monies that are specifically restricted for use in advertising, and the department has essentially used all of the funds that were made available to Maryland. However, there are monies that were not used by the state of Virginia as well as the District of Columbia. As a result, we have been able to benefit from their non-use, and the request here today is to take those monies and add them to this existing contract.
Okay. Well, if you could just take a look at this contract and make sure, it's an insignificant amount of money, $1.2 million, but it just struck me as it's almost negligible. Obviously, we're all interested in the public being warned about terrorism, but spending $1.2 million on this seems to be,
Well, is this gentleman from...
For the record, yes.
Yeah, perhaps you can educate me. How is this $1.2 million going to be monitored and verified that it's, in fact, is it expenditure the taxpayers' dollars?
Thank you for your question. For the record, Mr. Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, I'm James Knighton, Director of Procurement at Maryland Transit Administration. And basically what was going on here, these are federal grant funds for which they were originally appropriated in 2007, and the period in which they had to be spent was rapidly coming to an end. So when we went to the Department of Homeland Security, we had to look for a vehicle we already had in place that we could obligate these funds under a contractual vehicle. And we felt that this was the right thing because it benefits not just MTA but other transit agencies in the National Capital Region, including WMATA, Prince George's County, Montgomery County, and the entities that operate the Virginia Railway Express. So we work with our partners. We go to them and say, what do you need? MTA is actually the lead agency in this. We've developed resources, everything from radio and TV ads to banners, posters, that sort of thing. We go to them and say, what do you need? And they tell us, and then we distribute that.
I'm all for informing the public about what to keep on the lookout for, but we do that all the time. You can't go anywhere in the United States of America without people saying, be careful for luggage that's left untended, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just wondering whether spending $1.2 million on yet another bunch of placards or whatever this is going to be spent on is useful, or whether it ought to be spent on more video cameras or, you know, some more barriers or some more something real that would actually help security as opposed to just spend money on public relations.
Well, thank you for your comments, and that's a very good point. Between fiscal year 2005 and 2012, MTA has received about $70 million in Homeland Security grants, and about three-quarters of that has been spent on those types of infrastructure and operational improvements that you're talking about. So we will continue to look, you know, for those opportunities and find other grants. We're very aggressive in terms of looking for those.
So are you saying that this federal money is in fact tied to advertising, not to these other hardware or software?
It is, yes, because the advertising contract is a vehicle that we had available towards which these funds could be put.
No, but the federal intent, I understand why you applied it to something that was ongoing and available. Is that the federal intent?
I don't know if that specifically is the federal intent.
Yes, it is.
It was my, yeah.
We have our program expert is here.
Good morning. My name is Earl Lewis. I'm Deputy Chief Emergency Preparedness for the Maryland Transit Administration Office of Safety, Quality Assurance, and Risk Management, and also Program Manager for MTA's Homeland Security-funded security projects. And as Mr. Knight said, approximately three-quarters of that, you know, $70 million that we received between the federal 05 and the 2012 fiscal year have been for physical security reinforcement projects, critical infrastructure protection, and for law enforcement patrols. The $1.2 million is actually part of a total of nearly $12 million that has been allocated between the FY07 and the FY12 grant years for a regional awareness campaign, which is common from Northern Virginia all the way to the Baltimore metropolitan area. So this $1.2 million actually fits into that program. We actually had a gap that this fulfills for the second half of this year for a program that we really started the middle of 2011. And this project, which is part of the layered security structure, you do the physical law enforcement presence, you do the infrastructure projects like CCTV, access control, et cetera, and then you also do the public outreach to get everybody involved in helping make Maryland and our region a safer place.
That's very helpful.
Yeah, no, and it's a relatively small amount of money, obviously, but it's still more than $1 million, and I have a lot of confidence in the Secretary if somebody is looking at this to make sure it's not just another marketing contract that heads out there without any accountability and attention paid to what exactly we're up to here. I know it's not our money, but it's somebody's money.
Correct. We get very specific oversight from both TSA and FEMA who have to approve what we spend these funds for. These are reimbursable grant programs, so we first have to get approval to do the project, then we go spend the money, then we apply for reimbursement to make sure we only spend money on things that we're approved to spend money for. I'd also add that as Mr. Knighton said, MTA was chosen as the project manager for this project by the regional transit agency. So we're working with WMATA, VRE, and also local government transit agencies in the NCR, including Prince George's County, Montgomery County, Fairfax County, the City of Alexandria, Arlington, the Potomac and Rappahannock Transit Company, as well as VRA.
Great. I'm going to vote for it, but would you please try to assure everyone that this actually does something useful?
Yes. We also are working with TSA to have it evaluated by the Mineta Institute.
Sure.
This is actual details. We want to learn from the impact of our earlier expenditures so we can improve the campaign as we move forward into the future.
Thank you,
Governor. Sure. Comptroller moves approval on this. He does. So to point out that should persons be interested in learning about the progress being made across 12 core capacities of Homeland Security at the state level, we encourage them to go on to the state website, check out Governor's Office, Delivery Unit, and the goals there. The Comptroller moves approval, seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed.
Can I ask you,
my name is Earl Lewis.
Mr. Lewis, thank you. That was extremely helpful.
Oh, you're welcome. And we do work, consider the Governor's Court to have capacity for Prepared Maryland, and we've been asked by TSA to give presentations at the National UASI Conference on some of the things that we're doing.
Good man.
Well, we're fortunate to have you.
And the ayes have it.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we move on now to the University System of Maryland. Mr. Evans. Why are you looking like that, Joe? Come on.
It was a rough day yesterday. Joe Evans represented the University of North Carolina.
Was there some disappointment in the Olympics or what?
Just one of the items. We have six items on the agenda today. We are withdrawing item 6 ROP. Here to answer your questions.
Any questions?
Just a comment on item 4, which is a really good news story. This is something that President Bob Corrett, the former President Towson, supported, and now President Blushke is moving the project forward. And it's, as I understand it, placing in Harford County a facility that Towson University and Harford Community College, and I believe also Morgan State is involved, but primarily it's Towson and Harford moving together.
Yes, sir.
And I just think it's commendable. I guess I have a couple of quick questions about is this envisioned primarily as a distance learning center, or are people actually going to be in this physically in the facility?
They're going to physically be in the facility, but I would like to bring up Mark Bim, who is the interim vice president for administration and finance at Towson University, to pass the question.
It's a great project. So,
thank you. Good morning. We anticipate 700 students participating in classroom and laboratories at that new facility. Mm-hmm. So it is not intended to be a distance ed. We will have full-time faculty there.
But you'll offer distance learning capabilities, I think.
Yes.
And is this something that Towson sees as a long-term presence, or how exactly do you...
This facility, 55,000 square feet, is a long-term arrangement for us, yes.
And you're still going to stay in the heat center?
The heat center is going to continue primarily with our graduate programs, which can expand as we make room by moving undergraduate programs into our new facility.
Good. Well, I salute former President Correa and Correct. Is it correct?
Correct.
And also give my regards to President Blushke and thank her for moving this project forward.
Thank you. I'll do that.
You mentioned the faculty. Are these full-time 1,000 faculty?
Yes. MHEC requires that programs of this type have at least 30% of the instruction taught by our full-time regular faculty. Some people will commute, others will actually be permanently assigned to the facility.
But they're not adjunct.
We will have a majority of adjunct, but there will be full-time as well.
And do you have a roll-off plan? I haven't seen a plan, and I would be very interested, as you know, I've been involved for years in Shady Grove.
Yes.
And distribute learning. Could we see a roll-off plan for the development of the programs and courses?
Certainly. Are you looking at academic program?
Yes.
Yes, I can provide academic program.
Academic,
we have a schematic of the building. I didn't know.
I was thinking of that.
Okay. Certainly, we'll provide that to you. Thank
okay.
you.
Controller moves approval. Seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. We move on now to the Department of Information Technology.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. Elliot Schlanger, Department of Information Technology. This morning we have three items on our agenda. I would be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Okay. Comptroller moves approval. Seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you. Thank you, Elliot. Department of Transportation.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, Tom Hickey, representing MDOT. We have nine items on our agenda today, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Interesting to see you, Tom. I believe that the Comptroller has a question about the algorithms involved in the engineering of that bridge on page 509.
It's about a two-page question.
Okay, any questions? Treasurer, the Comptroller will take that up with you after this. So, Treasurer, Comptroller moves approval. Seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. Now, the Department of General Services.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, Al Collins, Secretary of the Department of General Services. We have 17 items on our agenda, including one hand carried item. Item 10, 15, and 16 have been revised, and we'd be glad to answer any questions on any of these items at this time.
I'm curious about item 1C.
1C. Yes. Department of Natural Resources asked critique work there.
Yeah.
Yes. Mr. Thomas? Bart Thomas, Assistant Secretary for Construction, can tell you what we're doing for DNR at this particular.
Good morning. What's going on here, and also whether there is, and this is really more a DNR question, I think, is there in the works an ongoing review of the sites and infrastructure we have to take account of changed estimations of relatively near time storm surge driven by sea level rise?
Correct. I'm Bart Thomas, Assistant Secretary for Facilities Planning. DNR is raising this facility, as it has been flooded many times, to fix this flood. We have also done a complete survey of the water levels, the water table in the area for the dunes for the future flooding, and corrected that. And all the new buildings that we're building down there
right.
are going to be built above the flood stage.
And what estimations do you use in these projections?
I don't have that information, but I would know that they we just finished conducting the level of the water to see how the storm surges will affect through the depth of the water right offshore.
We can get you the exact details on the estimation.
I think this is
sure.
probably more a DNR
sure.
issue, but I'm concerned that,
yes.
basically, just so you know, I'm concerned that some of our, I won't say algorithms, some of the numbers that we use in our projections regarding the impact, particularly of surges, may not be. I'd like to know how we drive them and update
okay.
them.
And we're glad to get to you. That's an active conversation between our secretaries at DNR, MDE,
sure.
and state planning as we do the out year planning. So we're glad to get back to you with that, Madam Treasurer. I think we're all aware of your and the governor's sensitivity relative to.
Well, and there just seems to be new conclusions being reached in the scientific community.
Absolutely. We don't want to build it, I'll fix it, and have it washed away. That's in the next 50 years or 100 years of it.
Thank you.
Thank you. do a good job down there. Treasurer moves approval. Second by the controller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. Now, are we waiting?
We are. And
there are actually a second.
They can bring in the information like the Pony Express as it develops. Okay. We actually approved item 15, and I wondered after we did whether that was appropriate.
I'm not sure. We said that we were holding on this
I don't know. Sounds like Ms. Brogan is saying they might be back before 20 minutes. Okay, so what do we do? Take a 10-minute pause for the cause?
Just turn the board over.
Sure. We'll take a 10-minute break and come back as soon as the bond people are able to come back. Okay? Thank you.
Very beneficial to the taxpayers of the state of Maryland and to our ability to improve our infrastructure, build the schools and university buildings at a very low, relatively low cost and low interest rate. Kina, do I just go through this, or Amber, tell me what to do?
If you want to go ahead and move through the resolutions for each series, what we'll do is we'll show the bids as they came in and show everyone the winning bidder just as you read the details.
Okay. Well, the next part in our series is the second series B bonds. And I would move, Governor, that Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, be declared the successful bidder for the second series of tax-exempt bonds in the aggregate principal amount of $478,660,000, with a net premium of $70,374,981.23, and a true interest cost, this is the average interest costs across the years of 2.169819. Second. The lowest I think we've ever received.
Okay. Moved by the Treasurer, seconded by the Controller. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And, yes,
and I further move that the second series B bonds be issued in the amounts and maturities and at the interest rates and prices set forth in the successful bid for these bonds.
Second by the controller. All opposed?
So that is the bulk, that's the large part of the competitively bid tax exempt issues, which I remind you about 60% of education, jails, community services, things, community projects that are needed. Second series C, which is the taxable bonds, those things which don't qualify for tax exemption. I move that Bank of America and Merrill Lynch be declared the successful bidder for the second series C taxable bonds in the aggregate principal amount of $23 million. There's no principal on taxable bonds. And a true interest cost of 0.446927%.
Seconded by the controller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. All opposed? The ayes have
it. I further move that the second series C bonds be issued in the amount and maturity and at the interest rate set forth in the successful bid for the bonds.
Seconded by the controller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. All opposed?
We're halfway through. Second series D bonds, these are the qualified zone academy bonds. You want to get this right. 320. I move that Morgan Stanley and Company LLC be declared the successful bidder for the second series B taxable qualified zone academy bonds in the aggregate principal amount of $15,230,000 with a coupon of 2.8% and a direct subsidy payment from the United States Treasury Department of 2.8%, which is equal to 100% of the interest payable on the second series D bonds,
And I further move that the second series D bonds be issued in the amount and maturity and that the interest rate set forth in the successful bid for the bonds. That's $15 million at essentially to Maryland taxpayers, 0% interest.
Seconded by the controller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. All opposed? Aye. The ayes have it.
And finally, for the second series E bonds, which is the refunding bonds, I move that J.P. Morgan Securities LLC be declared a successful bidder for the second series E tax-exempt refunding bonds in the aggregate principal amount of $191,595,000, subject to resizing as provided in the revised official notice of sale, with a net premium of $42,897,518.74, and a true interest cost of 1.246848%. And I further move that the second series E bonds be issued in the resized amounts and in the maturities and at the interest rate set forth in the successful bid for the bonds.
Seconded by the controller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it.
And finally, I move that the board authorize and approve the issuance of the final official statement for the bonds.
Seconded by the controller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it.
Thank you, Governor. This tells a very interesting story. Significant amount of money borrowed for capital construction purposes, some of the taxable, some of the tax exempt, including refunding at an extraordinarily low cost to the taxpayers because of a clear flight to quality, because of the volatility and uncertainty of the global economy. It's very good for the taxpayers. We can build our schools and help our treasury. We all certainly hope that the global economy clears up over the next year, the next close future. And I must say, without clear consensus in Washington about what's happening with the federal government, we all should be thankful we're in Maryland, but it's not an easy world we are in. But I thank you for your support in this. And you know that these were issued by the Treasurer's Office on behalf of the Board of Public Works and the taxpayers of the state. And so I think we should all be very pleased that folks want to put their money and invest in Maryland. They see that despite the fact they're not going to get rich doing it, it is a very good, conservative, and safe investment.
Okay, Madam Treasurer, thank you. Controller, anything else we could have closed? Okay. Motion to adjourn. Move and second. Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem.